No doubt, doctors are brainwashed into thinking, vaccination for all, is for the highest and common good, and their employers may mandate vaccination as well. But, according to this inside information, that may not be what's really driving physicians and pediatricians to push jabs. Is this why pediatricians push vaccines? This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. Story at a glance: primary care providers across the U.S. were bribed with incentive programs to coerce patients into getting the toxic COVID shot. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield paid doctors $50 for each Medicaid patient aged 6 months and older, who got the experimental jab. Doctors have been financially incentivized to vaccinate children for a long time. In 2016, Blue Cross Blue Shield paid pediatricians a $400 bonus for each patient that completed 10 vaccinations before their second birthday, provided 63% of their patients were fully vaccinated. Client and family incentives also exist. In 2015, the Community Preventive Services Task Force recommended boosting vaccination rates by giving small, inexpensive incentive rewards to patients. Bribery is also par for the course when it comes to vaccine mandates. Pfizer paid undisclosed sums to front groups that advocated for COVID jab mandates, thereby hiding their conflict of interest. While the COVID-19 pandemic furthered many globalist goals, it inadvertently tanked childhood vaccination rates. To get childhood vaccination rates back on track, a global alliance has launched the Big Catch-Up Initiative. It's touted as the largest childhood immunization effort ever. In April 2023, I reported how primary care providers across the U.S. were bribed with incentive programs to coerce patients into getting the toxic COVID shot. Since there was no medical malpractice liability, doctors profited while patients risked their lives as participants in an unprecedented medical experiment, all while being lied to about the safety and effectiveness of these injections. Even more egregiously, once the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized the COVID shot for children, similar vaccination incentives were extended to pediatricians as well. As detailed in an Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield Medicaid Provider Bulletin 1, dated July 2022, doctors received $50 for each Medicaid patient aged 6 months and older, who got the experimental jab. Pediatricians are financially incentivized to vaccinate. As it turns out, doctors have been financially incentivized to vaccinate children for a long time. According to a 1999 JAMA Pediatrics article, 2, the average patient load of American pediatricians is 1,546, although the number of patients was significantly higher in less populated areas and solo practices. Of these, 8.3% were younger than 1 year, 9.5% were 1 year old, and 8.6% were 2 years old. 3. That means approximately 26.4% of the average pediatrician's patients were 2 years old and younger. More recent data, 4 published in 2021, show 75% of pediatricians have between 1,000 and 1,800 patients and 21% have around 1,200 patients. Most practices, 65%, are in the 1,000 to 1,500 range. As shown in the 2016 Provider Incentive Program document from Blue Cross Blue Shield below, 5.6. Pediatricians were getting $400 for each pediatric patient that completed all the 10 vaccinations listed, 25 doses in all 7, before their second birthday. Keep in mind that incentives can vary by state. The example provided is part of Michigan's Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Recognition Program. 8. How much money is at stake? The math from there is pretty straightforward, although keep in mind that we're dealing with presumed averages and age statistics here. Just multiply the number of patients under age 2 times $400. Using the average statistics from 1999, if a pediatrician has 1,000 patients, 264 can be expected to be 2 years old or younger. If all are fully vaccinated, the pediatrician would be eligible for a $105,600 year-end bonus. While $400 per fully vaccinated child might seem incentivizing enough, there's an added pressure here, because Blue Cross Blue Shield also has, or at least had, in 2016, a target level of 63%. This means that if the pediatrician fails to vaccinate 63% of his eligible patients, he or she gets nothing. So, the pediatrician has a very high incentive to get as many toddlers fully vaccinated as possible, so as not to miss that target. It's not just $400 that is at stake when parents decline one or more shots. Tens of thousands of dollars could be on the line. As noted by Dr. Bob Sears, 9. Such incentives, end up forcing a doctor to consider the financial implications of accepting patients who even just want to opt out of one vaccine. Maybe a few such families wouldn't make them fail the chart reviews, but if they have too many, there goes their year-end bonus. Why pediatricians become adversaries? Anytime financial incentives are part of the equation, one can reasonably assume that the lure of self-enrichment will win. With tens of thousands of dollars at stake, pediatricians can easily be lulled into complacency when it comes to digging deeper into the science. After all, who wants to see evidence that what they're doing is causing more harm than good? These kinds of incentives also encourage pediatricians to simply toss questioning parents out of their practice, to make room for more compliant patients that don't put their income at risk. As reported by Children's Health Defense back in 2018-10, the 11 well child visits recommended by the AAP over a child's first 30 months, with annual visits thereafter through age 21, ensure a steady stream of repeat customers and revenue for pediatricians. In accordance with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's vaccine schedule, pediatric practices are expected to administer vaccines, often as many as 6 at a time, at about half of well child visits through the adolescent years, making vaccination a foundational bread and butter component of pediatricians' job description. It is quite common for pediatricians, and family doctors, to encounter parents who refuse one or more infant vaccines, most often due to safety concerns. These concerns also mean that pediatricians frequently get requests to modify or delay the vaccine schedule. Nearly three-fifths, 58%, of pediatricians reported such requests in a 2014 AAP survey. Rather than recognize the validity of parents' safety concerns or admit to their own ambivalence about some of the newer vaccines, many pediatricians, nearly 2 in 5 according to some estimates, choose to boot incooperative families out of their practice. Ultimately, subtle and not-so-subtle financial incentives and social pressures are likely to maintain widespread adherence by pediatricians to the vaccine schedule, even in instances where contraindications are present. Although pediatricians have a legal duty to fully inform patients about vaccine risks and side effects, the lure of monetary perks and the desire to fit in may lessen their motivation to do so. Patients are bribed too. In addition to the financial incentives given to physicians, client and family incentives also exist. A non-governmental panel of public health and prevention experts called the Community Preventive Services Task Force, 11, in 2015 published a guide 12 on how to boost vaccination rates using incentive rewards for patients. The task force was established by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 1996 to develop guidance on which community-based health promotion and disease prevention intervention approaches work and which do not work, based on available scientific evidence. 13. As explained by this task force, 14, the Community Preventive Services Task Force recommends client or family incentive rewards, used alone or in combination with additional interventions, to increase vaccination rates in children and adults. Client or family incentive rewards are used to motivate people to obtain recommended vaccinations. Rewards may be monetary or non-monetary, and they may be given to clients or families in exchange for keeping an appointment, receiving a vaccination, returning for a vaccination series, or producing documentation of vaccination status. Rewards are typically small, e.g., food vouchers, gift cards, lottery prizes, baby products. The scientific evidence supporting bribery of patients with food vouchers, gift cards, and other products of limited value was said to be 4 out of 4, meaning very strong. In other words, incentives, even near worthless ones, work. Indeed, we saw this during COVID-19 as well. People were lining up for experimental COVID shots in return for a donut, hamburger and fries, or even a free lap dance at the local strip club. The pattern is the same. Throw the patient a bone and they'll agree to things that bring others big profits. As patients, we need to get savvier about these kinds of tricks and interpret them for what they are. These kinds of gifts are not given out of kindness or concern for your well-being. It's a compliance bribe, and your compliance is making someone rich. Meanwhile, any risks involved are on you. Bribery and vaccine mandates. Bribery is also par for the course when it comes to vaccine mandates. As detailed in a previous article, Pfizer paid undisclosed sums to front groups that advocated for COVID jab mandates, thereby hiding their conflict of interest. In part due to the fake, grassroots, work of these groups, Pfizer was able to rake in a record-breaking $100 billion in sales in 2022.15. Of course, the U.S. government also paid news media a staggering $1 billion to promote and build public confidence in the jab, and Pfizer itself spent $2.8 billion on ads in 2022 alone. But the pressure from consumer groups, civil rights groups, patient groups and doctors groups, all of which had been paid off, was probably why COVID jab mandates could even be officially considered by the government. They created a false consensus that people desperately wanted vaccine mandates to keep everyone safe. Special interest groups paid by Pfizer 16 to push for COVID jab mandates and coercive vaccine policies included the Chicago Urban League, which argued that the jab mandate would benefit the Black community, the National Consumers League, the Immunization Partnership, the Advertising Council, and a long list of universities and cancer, liver diseases, cardiology, rheumatology, and medical science organizations. Pfizer didn't have to take a prominent stand to argue for vaccine mandates, which would have been an obvious conflict of interest. They paid others to push the mandates for them. Each of these organizations received anywhere from several thousand to hundreds of thousands of dollars from Pfizer in 2021 alone. Is it any wonder, then, that more than 50 major healthcare organizations called for vaccine mandates that year, including for their own workers? 17. Childhood vaccination rates tanked during COVID. While the COVID-19 pandemic furthered many globalist goals, it inadvertently tanked childhood vaccination rates, as many parents ended up missing routine well-child visits due to clinic closures, lockdowns, and fear of taking their children outside. As reported by the American Medical Association, AMA, in November 2021-18, recently published research sheds new light on how the COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted some of those routine vaccinations, as parents and their children didn't just stay home, they stayed away from the doctor. The JAMA Pediatrics Study 19 found that vaccine administration rates were significantly lower across all pediatric age groups as the pandemic first surged in the U.S., for example. Only 74% of infants turning 7 months old in September 2020 were up to date on their vaccinations, a drop from 81% in September 2019. And just 57% of infants who hit the 18-month mark in September 2020 were up to date, down from 61% the year before. The proportion of children up to date for routine vaccinations was lowest among Black children, with inequities more pronounced in the 18-month-old group. The Big Catch-Up Initiative video link. To get childhood vaccination rates back on track, Chelsea Clinton is now making the rounds promoting a new vaccine initiative called The Big Catch-Up. In a recent interview with Fortune magazine, 20, Clinton promised it would be the largest childhood immunization effort ever. Over the next 18 months, this initiative will attempt to catch as many kids up as possible, she said. Partners in this effort include the World Health Organization, UNICEF, Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Immunization Agenda 2030, and several other global and national health partners. As reported by the WHO, April 24, 2023, 21. The pandemic saw essential immunization levels decrease in over 100 countries, leading to rising outbreaks of measles, diphtheria, polio, and yellow fever. The Big Catch-Up is an extended effort to lift vaccination levels among children to at least pre-pandemic levels and endeavors to exceed those. While calling on people and governments in every country to play their part in helping to catch up by reaching the children who missed out, the Big Catch-Up will have a particular focus on the 20 countries where three-quarters of the children who missed vaccinations in 2021 live. The 20 countries where three-quarters of the children who missed vaccinations in 2021 live are Afghanistan, Angola, Brazil, Cameroon, Chad, DPRK, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, DRC, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ethiopia, India, Indonesia, Nigeria, Pakistan, Philippines, Somalia, Madagascar, Mexico, Mozambique, Myanmar, Tanzania, Vietnam. Vaccine program is run soft mafia style. When you look at all these areas of bribery and financial incentives, doesn't it seem as though the entire vaccine program runs on financial coercion? A sort of soft mafia kind of operation, where the threats and promises all revolve around money and public, professional shaming versus accolades. What would happen if all financial incentives were removed? All the performance bonuses paid to doctors, the freebies given to patients, the charitable donations to industry-friendly organizations and payments to front groups? What would happen if parents were simply given unbiased evidence and no one was financially driven to pressure them either way? I don't have the answer. It's a thought experiment, but I suspect that vaccination rates would drop dramatically. Think globally, act locally. National vaccine policy recommendations in the U.S. are made at the federal level, but vaccine laws are made at the state level. It is at the state level where your action to protect your vaccine choice rights can have the greatest impact. It is critical for everyone to get involved now in standing up for the legal right to make voluntary vaccine choices in America, because those choices are being seriously threatened. Not only are lobbyists representing drug companies, medical trade associations, and public health officials trying to persuade legislators to strip all vaccine exemptions from public health laws, but global political operatives lobbying the United Nations and World Health Organization are determined to take away the human right to autonomy and protection of bodily integrity. We must take action to defend our constitutional republic and civil liberties, including the right to autonomy, in America. That includes reforming oppressive mandatory vaccination laws and stopping the digital health ID that will make vaccine passports a reality for us, our children and grandchildren, if we don't take action today. Signing up to use the free online advocacy portal sponsored by the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC, at www.nvicadvocacy.org gives you immediate, easy access to your own state and federal legislators on your smartphone or computer, so you can make your voice heard. NVIC will keep you up to date on the latest bills threatening to eliminate, or expand, your legal right to make vaccine choices, and give you guidance about what you can do to support or oppose those bills. So, please, as your first step, sign up for the NVIC advocacy portal. Click here to join. Internet resources where you can learn more. I encourage you to visit the four websites of the National Vaccine Information Center, at www.nvic.org, a nonprofit charity that has been educating the public about the need to prevent vaccine injuries and deaths since 1982. The information you get on their websites is fully referenced and will help you become an effective vaccine choice advocate in your community. NVIC.org. This website was established in 1995 and is the oldest and largest consumer-operated website publishing information on diseases and vaccines on the internet. Learn about vaccine reactions, injuries and deaths, and the history and current status of vaccine science, policy, law and ethics in the U.S. on more than 2,000 web pages. NVICadvocacy.org. This communications and advocacy network, established in 2010, is your gateway to taking action to protect your right to make vaccine choices where you live. TheVaccineReaction.org. This weekly journal newspaper published by NVIC since 2015 is dedicated to encouraging an enlightened conversation about vaccination, health and autonomy. MedAlerts.org. This is a user-friendly search engine for the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. Established under the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act and sponsored by NVIC since 2006. Search for descriptions of vaccine injuries and deaths reported to VAERS on this popular website. Find a doctor who will listen and care. If your doctor or pediatrician refuses to provide medical care to you or your child unless you agree to get vaccines you don't want, I strongly encourage you to have the courage to find another doctor. Harassment, coercion and refusal to provide medical care to someone declining one or more doses of government-recommended vaccines is a violation of the informed consent ethic. Unfortunately, it is becoming routine among members of the medical establishment to be reluctant to share vaccine decision-making power with patients and parents of minor children, especially during the aggressive push for all Americans to get COVID shots. There are doctors out there who respect the precautionary and informed consent principles, so take the time to locate a doctor who treats you with compassion and is willing to listen and respect the healthcare choices you make for yourself or your child. Pfizer didn't have to take a prominent stand to argue for vaccine mandates, which would have been an obvious conflict of interest. They paid others to push the mandates for them,